مولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So my first question for you, brothers and sisters, is the microphone okay? Should we be adjusting it? Is everything, we're good? Okay. Now, the topic of tonight's talk, inshallah, will be that God has confidence in you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has confidence in you, and he has stated this in many places in the Holy Quran. Inshallah, I'm going to be sharing some of the verses where Allah covers this topic, this very important topic, but it's a very important topic for us to get, to embrace, and then inshallah, benefit with this. So if I were going, another way of approaching this same topic would be to look at it as those promises of God in the Quran for the believers. There are many beautiful, beautiful promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the mu'mineen and mu'minat, with of course three conditions that you and I have to meet. The three conditions that we have to have in order to receive these promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, God's promises are wonderful. Those three conditions, just so we understand what those are the following. Number one, in order to be considered mu'min and a believer according to the Quran, we have to have intellectual conviction that Islam is the truth. It's not a religion that I'm following because of my forefathers or anybody else. I personally am convinced this is Islam, this is the truth. Number two, in order to be considered mu'min, is that different than other faiths, it's not going to be a religion where my iman or my faith is only in my heart. The Quran specifies and teaches us that if you are mu'min in Islam, that iman is going to demonstrate itself in our actions. Number three is also very, very important. Again, many places in the Quran stressed on this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that in order to be considered mu'min in Quran, according to Quran and Sunnah, the third condition is very important. The third condition, brothers and sisters, is that we don't pick and choose in Islam. Islam is not a buffet. It's a package deal. Someone who is a Muslim has intellectual conviction that the Quran is the book of God, that Imam Ali is really the first Imam, this person has to embrace all of Islam. Picking and choosing in Islam does not lead one to be considered mu'min, and the promises of God are not for those who are not mu'mineen. So, back to the topic. The topic is that God, the creator of the universe, has confidence in you and I. Some of us might not think of ourselves as a champion, as someone who's a game changer, but what's important is how God views us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, sisters, this promise that I'm going to share you the verse of Quran with you, this promise that we're going to be sharing and inshallah pondering on and then taking benefit from is a promise which means no matter what the challenge in life I've been given, Allah has confidence in me. It might be dealing with in my family. Sometimes people have marital issues. Sometimes their children are not doing what they would like. Sometimes their spouse, sometimes relatives. That might be one challenge. It might be a personal challenge. Sometimes someone is a mu'min or mu'mina, maybe not in this community, but it happens. Somebody's even dealing with something as like addiction. That'd be a personal struggle that the person is going through. Sometimes it might be financial issues. You'd be surprised, inshallah, all of you are doing very well financially. Sometimes for mu'mineen and mu'minat, the struggles they're going through, they can't even explain to you and I. Sometimes people are going through financial issues. Sometimes it's a lawsuit. They look on the other side of the equation, on the other side of the table. The enemy seems so powerful. Those who are after them are so strong. But again, Allah believes in me. I can do it. I'm up to the task. It might be long-term health issues. Sometimes a mu'min or mu'mina is dealing with a disease, long-term sickness, been dealing with this for a long time. They've gotten tired. Even the doctors have said, you're not going to make it. But as a believer, I'm supposed to keep fighting. to believe in God's promises, to keep pushing and looking. So it doesn't matter what the challenge is. It might even be something which is on the social or political issue. Let's say, I'm going to share the verse of Quran with you, but the promises of God are true. Let's say right now, as in Bahrain. In Bahrain, what kind of a struggle are they going through? Yemen. Imagine if we, right? But the promises of Allah in the Quran, it doesn't matter what the challenge is. It doesn't matter how many the enemy are. God sees you as a champion, a giant killer. You have what it takes. Let me share one of the verses of the Quran about this. So, this one is Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, and verse number 286. By the way, this promise of God has been repeated many times in the Quran. So this is just one of the verses, one of those promises of God for the mu'min and mu'mina. This one is, La yukallifallahu nafsan illa wus'aha. God doesn't place a burden on any soul greater than his or her ability. God has unwavering confidence. If I've given you, God, Allah is speaking, if I've given you the test, other people might say, this person should give up. There's no way they're going to win. But God says, La yukallifallahu nafsan illa wus'aha. God doesn't put a burden on us that's greater than we can bear. We're up to the task. We're up to the task. So how Allah looks at what's important for us is, what is important for you and I is how God sees it. And realigning our thoughts with Quran, realigning our thoughts with the words of Ahlul Bayt. How do they see me? I'm going to share another verse of the Quran with you, where you're going to see from this verse that again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you as a game changer. Your presence matters. You are important for the cause. I'll give you another verse. This one is one, let me just step back for a second. You and I know this. In the Quran, Islam has been promised to be victorious. Islam has been promised to be victorious. Question, when is it that Islam is externally victorious? Because sometimes we see, and we're not going to have Masaib tonight, but sometimes we see that Karbala happens. And the Imam is slaughtered. His family are taken as prisoners. Other times you see that the Imam is victorious, like Imam Ali. He's able to establish Islamic government, like Rasulullah, like various Anbiya. When is it that Islam externally, because Islam is always victorious, but when is it that externally Islam is victorious? It goes back to the followers. Whenever the followers are strong, Islam is externally victorious. But back to the verse, to again not lose our topic, God has confidence in you. He sees you as a champion, a game changer. So look at this one. This is Surah 8 and verse number 62. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this about people who you and I would consider ordinary mu'mineen and mu'minat. Allah says in the Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, Huwalladhi, God's describing himself. Huwalladhi, God is the one. Ayyadaka, he supported you, Rasulullah, he supported you. How did he support Rasulullah? With two things. He says, Binasrihi, divine help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else? What else was the game changer? Wabil mu'mineen, with the believers. The presence of believers. God says, one, his divine help, but the other, people who you and I would consider ordinary. God says, no. The mu'mineen, they're game changers. More than that is, even you'll find in the words of the Holy Quran, I even haven't got to the hadith yet, Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam also see you as being important. Your presence changes things. They trust you. They'll give you tasks. A verse of Quran. This one is describing our prophet. So this is Surah 9 and verse number 61, where God says this. He's describing our prophet. Yu'minu billah. Our prophet, he believes in Allah. Yu'minu billah wa yu'minu lil mu'mineen. He trusts the believers. You know, the seerah of our prophet was this. He would delegate. Everything wasn't on the shoulders of Rasulullah. He would delegate, and he would delegate to the youth. To the youth. He would give over important tasks. You'd be surprised. So in Islam, Allah, Ahlul Bayt, they see you strong, capable, you're up to the task, no matter what the task is. So what's going to be important for us is, again, relearning Islam and changing our understanding to make sure that we're in line with the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim assalam. Question, why is it that we don't feel like champions sometimes? Sometimes we don't believe in ourselves in that way, as God's saying that I see myself as that champion. Sometimes we actually feel weak. We feel overwhelmed. We feel like this is going to break us, the test that we're going in. The answer is going to be, we're going to try and address this on different levels. Sometimes it's the people who are around us. Sometimes those who are around us, the words they use when they're talking about us are not words that inspire us. It might be our family. It might be our friends, our circle, the people who are around. Do they speak words of faith to us? Do they tell us that God said, "La yukallafu Allahu nafsan illa wusaha"? Or sometimes they don't think you and I are going to amount to much. They don't have big expectations for us. You're a nobody. Who are you? I'll give you an example. Remember the story of Nabi Dawood? Nabi Dawood, David. Nabi Dawood in the Quran is described as being a giant killer. He's going to be the one who takes on Jalut. But don't you know, in our hadith, when Imam Ridha is describing the situation, he says that I'm paraphrasing the words, I'm going to tell you the hadith, or part of the hadith. The family of Nabi Dawood, they didn't think he was a giant killer. They weren't very impressed with him. Probably if you had told them that he's the one who's going to be the one who takes on Jalut, Goliath, they would have probably laughed at you. Him? Let me give you how the hadith is. The hadith says that actually they left him behind. They took the other brothers. We're going to go and take on Jalut, Goliath, this monster. We're going to take him on. And they said, "We'll leave Dawood behind. He's the youngest. He can take care of the sheep." The family saw him as a shepherd. The family saw him, he's small, he's a little guy. It's mentioned in the hadith, he was short. They didn't see the potential in him. But that's not important. What's important is God sees that potential. And Nabi Dawood, in our story, he realigned his thinking with the thinking of God. He thought the same way God did. We'll see later, inshallah, when it comes to the hadith. So sometimes what happens is the circle we're surrounded by, the people who are with us might not be those who speak those words of faith to us. In any case, and I'm going to give another reason why sometimes believers don't have that confidence that they should in themselves and trust in Allah the way that they should. But if we don't learn this principle, sometimes what happens is you and I will miss out on God's best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decree. His decree, though, we learn from a hadith, part of it is contingent to our will. Some people receive God's best. Some people, because of their own negligence, stop themselves from receiving God's best. I'll give you a hadith, and after that, the encouragement from Ahlul Bayt. So what happens is sometimes you and I, we get good opportunities come our way. Good opportunities. Chances for us to do something special, to change our lives for the better, to do something for Islam and the Muslims. What happens? Sometimes this lack of confidence and belief that God sees me as being strong, this takes over. The person stops themselves from receiving Allah's best. I'll give you one hadith. The hadith is from the first Imam. It says this: Al-haya'u yamna'u rizq. Being shy when I'm not supposed to. Not thinking God's going to come through for me. Not believing Allah's promises. Shrinking back from opportunities. Yamna'u rizq. God has something special, but I had to walk through the door. I had to trust him. I had to believe that, yes, through Allah, I can do this. I stop myself from receiving Allah's best. So the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, they tell us that these opportunities pass like clouds. So take advantage of good opportunities. They come your way. Don't be afraid. Step into it. Receive Allah's best. The problem with some of us, inshallah, this isn't us, but a reminder for us, is for some of us, believing God's promises is a challenge. Some people don't believe God's promises the same way that they believe things that are tangible. When they hear a verse of Quran, it's not that real for the person. But this is a sign actually of true faith. Hadith, it says this, La yasduqu imanu abdin. Nobody's faith is real. Nobody's faith is sadiq until, the hadith continues, they trust more what's in God's hands than what's in their own. To believe God that much, the promises of Allah, those are true, even more real than what I can see, what's tangible. So what happens? So sometimes you and I, Allah has His best in store for us that He'd like to give us. But we need to believe His promises. We need to walk through the door. We need to see ourselves as God sees ourselves, sees us. So now what we do is make it practical for ourselves. How do we learn to become strong, to have that can-do mentality? I'm up to the task. God can do miracles through me. What am I supposed to do? One of them that I want to share with brothers and sisters is this. For us to learn the power of our own words, the power of our words, the things you and I repeat to ourselves. Sometimes when we're going through bala, what are the words that we choose to tell ourselves? The promises of God, is that what we say? I'm going through a difficulty. Other people are crumbling. I've seen my family was stuck in this similar situation, for instance. Do I tell myself, La yukallifallahu nafsan illa wus'aha? Is that what I say to myself? Or sometimes do I speak words of defeat to myself? I tell myself, this is going to break me. This is going to stop me. I can't make it. Remember something you may have heard already from Imam Khomeini? He says, victory and defeat start inside before they manifest themselves outside. First, the person says, I can't, I'm not capable, I'm not strong. Then outside, they collapse. The words we say are very, very important. So remembering that is important. Now, I want to share a story with you that's not true. It's not true. What happens is once there was a guy who went to borrow a horse from somebody. The guy said, yeah, you can borrow my horse. He said, there's one secret when it comes to my horse, though. He said, what's the secret? He said, with my horse, if you wanted to start running, you have to say, thank God. And if you wanted to stop, you have to say, amen. The guy said, that seems pretty easy. He got on the horse and he started riding and he said, thank God. And the horse started moving. And then he said, thank God again. And the horse started running. Then he said, thank God again. Now the horse is charging. He's enjoying it. Alhamdulillah. He's moving quickly. And then he starts running. And he comes running right up to the edge of a cliff. And then he forgets what he's supposed to say to make the horse stop. So he's saying, whoa, stop. And the horse is charging, going up to the edge. Then finally remembers at the last second, he says, amen. And the horse stops right on the edge of the cliff. And he leans back and he says, thank God. The power of our words, saying the right things, telling ourselves the right things. How important is it? Remember, according to the ayat of the Quran, I already have the talent to come through in my difficulty. I already have the creativity. For God, my past isn't a problem. My gender is not a problem. My social economic status, none of that stops God. No matter what the test is, God said, La yukallifallahu nafsan illa wus'aha. I'm up to it. I can do it. The idea is to realign my thinking with the words of God. And I want to give this to you as a principle. So there's a story we have mentioned in our hadith. It's about Luqman alayhi salam. So Luqman, in this particular hadith that I want to share with you, and I'm going to paraphrase the words of the hadith, but it starts off like this. Ya Luqman, the angels are speaking to Luqman. Ya Luqman, halaka an yaj'alaka Allah khalifatan fil ard tahkumu bainan nas bil haq. Do you want, Luqman, the malaika are speaking to Luqman. They say, Luqman, do you want God to make you be the khalifa of Allah, the representative of Allah on the earth that you rule justly amongst the people? The answer of Luqman is very interesting. Luqman gives one of those if this, then that answers. The first part, and I'm paraphrasing, the words of the hadith were this, the Arabic of it later on I'm going to share, so we learn the principle. He told the malaika, he said, it depends. If Allah makes it my choice, if it's up to me, if you're asking me, if it's my choice to be the Khalifa of Allah in the earth, then I want to be safe from this. I don't want to take that responsibility. Imagine on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you have to answer for being the Khalifa of Allah in the earth. He says, I don't want that responsibility. But he said, but if God makes it wajib on me, then definitely I'm going to do it. The angels want to know, well, why would you do it? What's the difference? Look at the Arabic of it. فَإِنِّي أَعْلَمْ. Truly, I know this is the case. إِنْ فَعَلَ بِذَلِكْ. If God makes it wajib on me to accept this responsibility, he makes it clear, this is my duty. If that's the case, أَعَانَنِي. God will help me. وَعَسَمَنِي. And God will protect me. If God makes a duty on me, if he's given me a task, then he's going to help me. And with Allah's help, why would I be afraid? What difference does it make how many are against me? How big the problem is? God will help me if he makes it wajib on me, and he'll also protect me. So what happens is, you and I have to make sure we learn to speak words of faith to ourselves and to other people. To make sure that we tell one another we're up to the task. I'll give you a true story from the life of Imam Khomeini. Allah have mercy on him and all of our maraja, especially Imam Khomeini, who really, at least personally, I know I wouldn't be Shia if it wasn't for the great efforts of Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini once was walking with his son, Ahmad Agha. They used to call him Ahmad Agha. So Imam Khomeini was walking with him, and they were walking by themselves, just the two of them. They're walking together. And what happened was that Imam Khomeini, his son, Ahmad, said to Imam Khomeini, he started talking about the superpowers. Remember, the Soviet Union at that time is a superpower. Or America is a superpower. He's talking about the superpowers. Then Imam Khomeini stopped him. He said, say Iran. Say Iran is a superpower. So Ahmad, he's like, we're just by ourselves. I mean, one time we're out and Iran is strong. He said, no, you say that Iran is a superpower. We're up to it. And he wouldn't stop until Ahmad Agha said, Iran is a superpower. Even in your private life, I'm strong, I'm capable, I can be idhnillah. Speaking these words of faith are very important to one another. And not speaking words of cowardice, of scaring each other. Remember the story of Imam Hussein? The army of Yazid, did it ever come to Kufa? Or was it the Kufans who marched on Imam Hussein? The Kufans. Everybody afraid. What will Yazid do? Yazid will raise this town to the ground if we don't do this. Fear, brothers and sisters, is contagious. I'm afraid. I make you afraid. I tell you to be scared. Instead of reminding you of the promises of God, I remind you, oh, remember, fear is contagious. We learned this, I remember hearing this from one of our shuyukh. He was reciting majlis, and he said this. He said that actually, while we're here in the dunya, we have four challenges, four tests. He says, one of those tests is the dunya itself. Dunya is darul ghurur. The dunya fools us. One of the tests is the dunya. Number two, he says that we all have a nafs. Each and every one of us, we do have a nafs. We have an ego. That's a challenge. It makes it hard to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, Iblis, shaitan. Shaitan is an enemy, whispering, getting us to do the wrong things. He says, but all three of those enemies, they're not as strong as the last enemy. Who's the last enemy? The last enemy is more dangerous than any of those. Who's the last enemy? Other people. Other people. See, you and I, we could handle the dunya. We could handle Iblis. We could even handle our nafs. But other people are scary. Imagine you and I were living in Iraq. Let's say we were living in Iraq at the time of Saddam Hussein. And you and I have heard stories about Saddam Hussein. We don't know what it was like to actually live under that man. Some of the stories, because my teachers would tell me when I was back in the house and studying, you won't believe it. You're like, that can't be, right? That terrible. So now, under the rule of Saddam, imagine if you and I had to believe God's promises. فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ. Don't fear them. وَخَافُونِي. Only fear me. إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. It's hard when you're looking at Saddam, you're looking at it. I've seen what it's like to be in a government. It's not easy to be brave under those circumstances, but you and I are supposed to be brave. We're supposed to say, more real than what I can see are God's promises. So other people, they're a real challenge. The thing is, you and I, we have to learn to make sure that we make sure other people aren't afraid and we don't make them afraid. Shaitan makes people afraid. Let me give you a verse of Quran. This is Surah 3 and verse number 175. God says this in the Quran. Innama dhalikum shaitan. Truly, that is shaitan. What is shaitan's job? Yukhawwifu awliya'ah. Shaitan makes his friends, his awliya, afraid. That shaitan who goes over and puts words of fear into my heart makes me, instead of words of faith, instead of believing Allah's promises, getting worried about the situation, collapsing internally before I collapse on the outside. Who is it who does that? Shaitan. Yukhawwifu awliya'ah. He makes his awliya afraid. So what does God want us to do? Fala takhafuhum. Don't fear them. وَخَافُونِي إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Only fear me. Fear God. I control the people. I'm in control of the world. No one, a leaf can't fall from a tree without my permission. Why would you worry about the puppet? Worry about the puppet master. God runs the universe. It's even, remember I said fear is contagious, to the extent that in our hadith we're told, don't even get advice from a coward. Somebody else is afraid. They don't believe Allah's promises. Because they're a coward, because they're scared, it's going to affect their judgment. They'll make me scared. Hadith is from the first Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam. Salawat, please. Our Prophet tells Imam Ali this. He says, Ya Ali, la tushawiranna jabanan. Never take advice from a coward. He says, فَإِنَّهُ يُضَيِّقُ عَلَيْكَ الْمَخْرَجِ. There's a way out. There's a way that you can do this. A way that you can be victorious. A way that you can still win. Because the coward is scared, he'll tell you, there's no way out. You can't make it. He'll make you collapse. So, فَإِنَّهُ يُضَيِّقُ عَلَيْكَ الْمَخْرَجِ. Let me tell you another story that's not true, inshallah. They said once that there was an eagle egg, and the eagle was raised in a chicken coop. He was born in a chicken coop. So because grew up with chickens, he started to behave like a chicken. He would peck like a chicken. He would eat like a chicken. He would even walk like a chicken. And then one day this eagle was sitting there in the chicken coop, and he looked overhead, and he saw an eagle soaring. And something inside him told him, I can do more than this. I don't have to spend my life as a chicken. I want to be an eagle. He told his chicken buddies, and his chicken buddies were like, you, an eagle? We're chickens. You can't do it. You stay here. He told him, I want to fly. I want to soar like the eagle did. They said, you soar. Just you stay here where it's safe. So the eagle, he said, looked at himself, he noticed his wings were a little different than the other chickens. He tried to flap his wings, he even tried to fly a little bit and tried to get out of his coop. When he did that, he took off a little bit and he crashed into the side of the coop, and his chicken buddies laughed and laughed. They said, see, he told you, you're a chicken. You can't fly. You can never soar. But instead of listening to his chicken buddies, he kept working, kept trying, till finally ended up lifting out of the coop, flying and soaring in the air. But he didn't listen to those who wanted to be chickens for the rest of their life. Just stay safe. So now, the next one important step for us, brothers and sisters, is to recognize the difference between tawakkul, reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Western confidence. In the West, they also talk about confidence. Is it the same thing as what we're talking about in Islam when they're telling us to be confident? Is it the same thing? What's the difference? What's the difference between Western self-confidence and tawakkul, relying on oneself with the permission of Allah? What we're going to find out, brothers and sisters, that in Islam, it's about God, not about you. It's about relying on Him and what He can do and being that vessel through which Allah allows things to happen. Believing that God can do it through me. God can do it through me. God can work miracles through me. I'll give you the story of Dawood David and Goliath in the Quran, Dawood and Jalut. What the Quran says, Surah Baqarah, verse number 251, this is that little difference between the two. It says this, فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They defeated that huge army. We learned from our hadith, it was only 313 of the believers, versus Goliath and that mighty army. How did they defeat them? What's the difference between tawakkul and self-confidence? In self-confidence in Islam, in tawakkul in Islam, I believe God can do it through me. I believe in my abilities with the permission of Allah. It's not about me. It's about how great God is. The Quran says, فَهَزَمُوهُمْ, they defeated them, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all about God. God works through people. He can work through you and I. I heard another story that's not true, inshallah. They said once, there was a Christian lady, and her neighbor was an atheist. And every day that old Christian lady would be there praying, asking God for things, and the atheist would be sitting next door and watching and listening. And he'd be like, that crazy old lady, why does she even believe in God? There is no God. And she would just keep praying and receiving God's miracles. Until one day the atheist was listening, and he heard her praying about groceries. He heard her, overheard her saying that, God, I don't have any groceries. I'm out of food, but Lord, I'm sure you're going to bring me groceries. You're going to take care of me. The atheist told himself, he said, now is my chance. So he went over, he quickly bought some groceries. He came to her house. He put his groceries outside the door. He rang the doorbell, and then he hid. The lady opened the door. She sees groceries are there. She starts thanking God. Thank you, God. I knew you would take care of me. I knew you would give me groceries. She was so happy. He said, now is my chance. He jumped out of the bushes. He said that, I told you there's no God. I brought the groceries. You crazy old lady. And then he noticed she really got happy then. She started running down the street. She was praising God. He said, old lady, what are you doing? He finally caught up with her. He said, I knew, she said, I knew that God was going to take care of me and He was going to send me groceries. I didn't know He would make the devil pay for it. Allah works through people. God, hazamuhum bi'idhnillah. They did their responsibility. They stood strong. They believed Allah's promises. God did the rest. Allah, how powerful is God? You and I have to keep this in our minds, no matter what the challenge. In my own personal life, in my marital life, somebody walked out on me, I'm looking for a job, a loss, whatever the challenge, social, political, whatever the challenge. How big is God? Is He bigger or the problem? This is now from the first Imam. He talks about the traits, the sifat of the muttaqeen. How are you and I supposed to view God as opposed to our problems? Listen to this hadith. عَظُمَ الْخَالِقُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. The Khaliq, the Creator, God. عَظُمَ الْخَالِقُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. God is so azim, so great, so big in the eyes of the mu'mineen and mu'minat. فَصَغُرَ مَا دُونَهُ فِي أَعْيُنِهِمْ. Everything else to them seems tiny. That huge army. God is so big. This kind of a disease. How could you ever recover? How could you reestablish yourself? How can you reinvent yourself? How can you get a new career? Everybody's against you. They discriminate against Muslims. عَظُمَ الْخَالِقُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. God is so great enough. فَصَغُرَ مَا دُونَهُ فِي أَعْيُنِهِمْ. Everything else is tiny to them. These are small potatoes. No matter who, no matter what, because God is so great. Because God is so great. That's the trait of the muttaqeen. So back to our original lesson. Brothers and sisters, another thing. We have to learn to see ourselves as God sees us. To believe in ourselves, to see ourselves as God sees. How do Ahlul Bayt see me? How do the Imams see me? How do they want me to view myself? Are they looking at my social and economic status? Are they looking at how long I've been dealing with this issue? How does the Imam Mahdi, how does he want to see me? I want to give you an example from the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This story, the fifth Imam is telling us this story. It's about the time of our Prophet, though. About a man who saw himself as God saw him, and he was able to experience God's best. This man's name, if you want to look up the hadith later, his name is Juwaybir. Juwaybir. And the Imam describes this man. This man was poor. And I mean poor, like not a dime in his pocket. Poor. This man was not from a noble tribe, not from a big family, not wealthy. Actually, the Imam says, not only that, he was unattractive. Hadith says, he was unattractive and he was dark-skinned. He was black. So he wasn't Denzel Washington, this guy. He's a regular guy. What happened? The Prophet told him, he met the guy. He said, you need to get married. He said, who get married? He said, go over to the noblest tribe of the Ansar and you ask them for their daughter. So anybody else was, I don't have money. I don't have position. He said, you go over to that family, the noblest family, and you go over and say that I want to get married to your daughter. Juwaybir saw himself how Rasulullah saw himself. Juwaybir went over there to the house. When Juwaybir went over there to the house, the father came over and he answered the door. And Juwaybir said that I'm here on behalf of Rasulullah. I'm a messenger on behalf of Rasulullah. He says he wants to, that I should marry your daughter. The father thought that he was on behalf of Rasulullah. He's the messenger of Rasulullah to ask for his daughter's hand. So at first he was like, ahlan wa sahlan. Of course, Rasulullah wants to marry her. Of course. He said, no, not Rasulullah, me. I'm supposed to marry her. Rasulullah sent me. I'm his messenger. I'm going to marry to your daughter. The father said, no, Juwaybir, come on. We marry our equals. We don't marry people like you. Not a dime in your pocket. Who are you? He said, you go back. I'll talk to Rasulullah. Juwaybir, he said, when he's speaking to himself, he said, the Quran wasn't revealed like this. In the Quran, we didn't judge ourselves based on our external circumstances. This is not what the prophethood of the prophethood is about. And he's walking away. The girl, the young lady, she heard. She told her father, she said, Rasulullah sent him? Sent Juwaybir? You told him no? She's like, are you kafir? The father, he went over later to talk to Rasulullah and explain the situation to Rasulullah. We don't marry. He's not our equal. Rasulullah, he spoke to him. He said, the guy's name is Ziyad. He said, Ziyad, listen to the Arabic of it. Juwaybir mu'min. Juwaybir is a believer. Wal mu'min kuful mu'mina. The believers are equals of other believers. Are you worried about? Their story was a success story, right? But Juwaybir saw himself as Rasulullah saw him, not as the people saw him. He wasn't, remember the hadith of the Imam, Al-haya'u yamna ur-rizq. Being scared, being doubting oneself, yamna ur-rizq. We stop ourselves instead of being brave and doing this. So, what we're supposed to do, the verse of Quran, just to kind of remind ourselves about it, is embracing Islam in its totality. Aligning ourselves with how God sees us. One beautiful verse of the Quran where it talks about embracing the color of God. How God wants us to be. Sibghatullah. This is Surah Baqarah, verse number 138. Sibghatullah, the coloring of Allah. Wa man ahsanu min Allahi sibgha. Who's better than God when it comes to that coloring, that embracing Islam? How do I align myself? Based on my color, based on my race, based on my economic status, or based on Islam and Islamic values? Who's better than God? Now, next one to keep in mind. Sometimes when you and I trust God and we do tawakkul and we try and we make that effort, sometimes it blows up in our face. Sometimes you and I, we try and do the right thing. We try and do what God says. We do tawakkul. Does it mean every time we do tawakkul that it's always going to work out? God looks what's actually good for us. He gives us what's good for us. Sometimes what you and I see as a setback is actually a setup for something better. Sometimes we would be disappointed in it, But the reality is, God knows what's better. Verse of Quran, Surah 4, verse number 19. God says this, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. Sometimes you hate something. You think it's a setback. You're so upset about it. وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. But Allah puts a lot of khayr in it. The idea is trusting in God, knowing that He's going to give me what's good for me. Trusting in Him. I'm going to give you guys another story that's not true. Definitely this one's not true. It's about paradise, so it's not true. They said once there was these three ladies, and they all went to paradise. They went to paradise, and then they were just about to go inside paradise. The angel came to the door of paradise, and he said, Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to paradise. He said, we only have one rule inside of paradise. They said, what's the rule? He said, make sure you don't step on a duck. He said, Ahlan wa sahlan. He opened the door. The ladies looked inside, and they saw inside paradise were so many little ducks running around. So ladies walked inside. They were being careful, trying not to step on a duck. And then one day, one of them stepped on a duck. And suddenly the angel came back. And he came back with the ugliest man that she had ever seen in her life. And he said, this is going to be your husband forever and ever. Go. So the other two ladies looked at each other. They said, oh my God. So now they're really being careful, trying to make sure they wouldn't step on a duck. And then after about a month, the next lady stepped on a duck. And the angel came back, and this time with an even uglier man. He came over and he said, this is your husband forever and ever. So finally that last lady, she was walking. She months went by, so careful, making sure she never stepped on a duck until one day the angel came back. But this time it was the most handsome man she had ever seen. And he said, this is your husband forever and ever. She said, Alhamdulillah. She told the man, she said, I don't know what I did to deserve you. I'm so happy. The man said, I don't know either, but I stepped on a duck. The Quran taught us, though, sometimes something seems like a step back. But Allah says in the Quran, He says, وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. It's a lot of good. So we can't be scared to do tawakkul, scared to take a chance. No, do tawakkul. God has your back. What's the worry about? Last point, and then I want to end with the story of Nabi Dawood. You and I have to learn this as a principle, as an Islamic principle. No matter how big the challenge, no matter how powerful the enemy, no matter what we're going through, the situation that we're going through, there's always a vulnerability in the side of the enemy, in the camp of the enemy. There's a way for us to win, no matter what. God doesn't want us to see our problems as being huge and unstoppable and I can't do anything about it. I want to give you a verse of Quran that talks about the state of the Muslims in Mecca. So you know in Mecca, maybe there was 200 Muslims, 300, I don't know, small number of Muslims. And they're over there with Quraysh, the most powerful tribe of all the Arabs. The people were later going to be able to bring the largest army Arabia has ever seen. Battle of Ahzab. Quraysh are these people. They bring that kind of an army. How does God describe Quraysh when the Muslims are in Mecca? The surah I'm going to give you, it's a Makki surah. This surah is revealed in Mecca. How does God describe the enemy? Listen to this surah. Surah 38 and verse number 11. Jundumma. First way he describes Quraysh, that powerful group. He says they're a tiny army. Jundumma. Hunalika. They're way over there, way in the distance. Quraysh are right here. God says a tiny army over there. Mahzumun. They're already defeated. Quraysh is at their power. The Muslims are weak. God says they're already defeated. Mahzumun min al-ahzab. Made up of different groups. The enemy is vulnerable. The problem, God is on your side. God can do miracles through you and I. Miracles. I'll give you the story now of our prophet, Nabi Dawood. So Nabi Dawood, back to that story. Nabi Dawood, what happens is our hadith tell us that actually he was short. He was shorter in stature. He was small. He was strong. He was fierce. But he was shorter. So he's the little brother, the young brother, as I mentioned before. He was left behind to tend the sheep. You know how he ended up going to face Jalut? It says that he was sent to go over and bring some food for the Mujahideen. So he's not considered important. Nobody sees him as being a giant killer. They said, go bring a little food for the Mujahideen, the real people. But as he was walking, he saw a stone in the way. And that stone said, pick me up. You're going to kill Jalut through me. He took that stone. He came to the camp. When he came to the camp, everybody was talking, Jalut is so terrible. Nobody can stop Jalut. Jalut will rip you from limb to limb. Everybody getting scared. Nabi Dawood wasn't intimidated. He said, inshallah, I'm going to kill him. He came over to Talut, Saul. He came to him, and then they put the, because the sign was that the armor of Musa would fit onto the person who was going to be the killer. They put the armor on him. They saw the armor fit. Talut said, maybe this is going to be the one. Then he went over, and with the permission of Allah, when that army of Jalut was raised over there, he took a slingshot, a stone. Jalut, they say, was sitting on an elephant. With his slingshot, he went over and he killed that giant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do miracles through us. It's up to us, of course, to believe Allah's promises. So I said, tonight, Noma Sahib, we'll just have that one brief tawassul to the Imam. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifana'ik alayka minni salamullahi abadam ma baqit wa baqiya al-laylu wa al-nahar wa la ja'alahu Allah akhir al-ahdi minni li ziyaratikum. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.